Praise the Lord. What would we do without Jesus? Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful today for you, Lord. I'm so grateful that somehow you opened up my understanding to know you. Somehow you reached into my darkness and you gave me light. Somehow you reached into my hopelessness and you gave me hope, not just a hope in this life, but Lord, you've given me an eternal living hope that does not fade away. I thank you today for that, Lord. And I pray, God, as we look at your word, you would instill that in our hearts. I pray, God, you'll open up hearts in this room today to the wonder of who you are, to the wonder of the cross, to the wonder of our glorious salvation and what you have actually done for us, and to the reality that you are alive and that you are a life giver, that you are the God of hope. God, I pray you will reveal your heart. I pray you will open up the understanding of every heart in this room to know you, to know your love, to understand the hope of our calling. Speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to read a verse to you out of Proverbs 13. Verse 12, it says this: hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. That is such a picture of what life is like in this world when we put our hope and trust in things that are fleeting, in things that might come to pass but let us down, or things that maybe never come to pass. And really, it's a picture of a depressed heart living under the curse of this world, and just the reality that in this life there really is nothing we can hold on to that's going to give us true hope, true satisfaction. It's deferred. It makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, in other words, when that groaning in our hearts is met, it's like a tree of life. It's like a tree that has found something for its roots to go into, that give that tree its life, and it produces life in that tree. It produces fruit. It's a picture of someone, even though they live in this world that has no life, has life because of Jesus Christ. A hope that won't disappoint. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Hope that won't disappoint. A hope that won't disappoint cannot be found in your earthly experience. It cannot be found. In the bitterness of earthly disappointments, there is Christ's great hope outstretched to every person that would look to him, that would trust in him, that would put their faith in him. On Friday, Rose and I went to visit a dear old saint in the Lord who is 85 years old, who understands she has lung cancer and it's in her brain. She's refused treatment because she just wants to avoid all of that, and she understands where she's going. She has a living hope. So I had it in my mind that we would go over and minister to her. And, you know, make sure she's doing all right. And you know what happened. She really ministered to us. And I had felt led to bring her a DVD by Billy Graham called Heaven. And it's a wonderful picture of the hope we have in heaven. There's testimonies on it. I just felt led. So when I walked in, I handed it to her, and she had a book on heaven that she had been reading. And what was so real as we visited with her was that she's already there in her mind. And the thing I think that stood out the most was there was no regrets, there was no bitterness. Even though she shared a lot of her life with us, she thought we got tired of listening to her, but I loved it. I mean, it was so interesting, and she told us about her family, and I found out about all kinds of things about her life, and it really was a blessing. But what you saw was there was a lot of heartache, there were a lot of questions, unanswered questions she had, but yet she had a joy, and there was such a peace that she had. And she was okay with dying. She's okay with it. She didn't need any encouragement or, you know, it's going to be all right, you know, and sharing Christ with it. No, she had a living hope in her, and it was infectious to us. And I left encouraged. I had a horrible day on Friday. Roses, it was bad. It was really bad. And what a blessing to get around this woman and just... It was like God was saying through her, what are you looking at? What are you looking at, Jeff? Have you forgotten the hope I've put in you? And it's like just talking to her pointed me in the right direction. It was such a blessing. And I want us to understand, and God wants us to understand, that there really is only one supreme hope that we all have. It's the only thing that's going to sustain you through life. It's the only thing that's going to keep you going through life. There's a psalmist that says it this way, rest in the Lord and wait patiently upon Him. Because earthly hopes will be disappointed. They will be shattered at some point. But a satisfying answer will be given to that person who prays a prayer of faith in who God is and what He promises, and who trusts and waits and hopes in God. There's something that person has, and I saw it in this woman. It's precious. It's precious. Do you understand how precious faith is? The Bible says it's more precious than gold that perishes. Faith. A Christian, really, when you think about it, should be a person of high hopes, raised expectations. And the author of that hope is God. The object of that hope is God. The grounds of that hope are God's promises and the one who ratified it in His blood, Jesus. Our faith is the source of our hope. It's the source of my hope, my faith in Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 explains this glorious salvation. It says it this way in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We'll look at that in a little bit, but without that, this means nothing. But it's because Jesus rose from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you be grieved by various trials. You will be grieved by various trials. You will, it will come. Life is a trial. But as a believer, someone who is living in the reality of their living hope, we can actually have joy in the midst of those trials, even though they're grievous. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible. You ever feel that way, those of you that this is real, that you almost can't use human words to describe the hope and the joy that God has placed within your heart. How do you describe that to someone? How do you make that real to someone? That's something you have to own yourself. It's just a knowing inside that the Holy Spirit puts there. And then when you read the Word, you read the promises of God, somehow God bears witness to that in your heart, and you know it's true, and it causes something in you to rejoice. And it's almost inexpressible, this joy that is in your heart. Inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. How real is that to you today on Easter Sunday? I want you to think about your life right now. I want you to think about disappointments, hardships, just the daily life we live here in the earth. Is this real to you? Is there something in you that even though you go through grievous trials and you go through the things of this life, there's something in you that is just excited because you see beyond your life in this world, and there's a joy in your heart that God has placed there that somehow carries you through it, and your whole life is lived in the reality of that, and it affects everything you do. How real is that to you? How do we live our lives because of that? How does it affect us? You see, people, we don't have to live under the oppression of this world. As believers, those who have put their trust in Christ do not have to live under that oppression. Even though we live in it, we're still in the world, we don't have to be overcome by the world. God has promised us that. We all have access to this hope, and you know what? It's simply through faith. And it's for everybody. Paul, talking about this faith in Romans 4, says it this way. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. In other words, it has nothing to do with you. It's pure grace. It's pure mercy. God did it all for you. And you just have to trust in what he did. It's by faith. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the Lord. It's talking about the Jews here. And then he goes on to say, it's not just for them, but also for those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead. Now, that is going to happen for those who have put their trust in Christ. When we die, we're going to live again. But actually, that happens now because we're like walking tombs before we're born again. We're dead. Spiritually, we're dead. And when we're born again from above, God lifes us. He gives us life. The Holy Spirit comes to reside in us, and we are lifed by the Holy Spirit. We are brought to life. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This is powerful. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, simply because of what God said and because he believed it. It's talking about Abraham. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, he giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he would also be able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It's for you. This is for you. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. Jesus died because of our sin, because of our offenses, but he also was raised up. He was raised because of our justification. Because he rose from the dead, we can be justified before God. Abraham didn't look at the natural. This is actually talking about the promise God had given to him about having a child. It was a child of promise through whom the seed would come and mighty nation would come forth. Multitudes of people would come forth. But the guy was 90 years old. His wife was in her 90s. But he didn't waver at the promise. He believed God. He didn't focus on the natural. He looked beyond that and he simply believed what God said. You have to do that. A lot of you, you look at yourself. You look at your circumstances. You look at your weaknesses. You look at your faults. Maybe you look too much at your sins. And you have to, by faith, trust that God is able to bring things from things that aren't, which we are, and that he's able to do beyond and above what we can think or imagine. That he can fully cleanse you and make you righteous before God because of what Jesus did. That he can come and dwell inside of you, and that he can change you from what you were to who he is. This is all incorporated in our living hope, our blessed salvation. And that he will raise you up from corruption. A hope that doesn't disappoint. It's not a vain hope, people. It's not a vain hope because Jesus rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about this. Paul is basically saying in these verses, in verse 13, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, everything I am telling you today, it means nothing. Absolutely nothing. My preaching is in vain. And your faith is empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, it's speaking of those who have died, have perished. And then listen to these words. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If you're hoping just in this life, you're to be pitied if you're putting your hope in this life. We had an opportunity last Sunday to minister to youth at the high school. We had about 300. And after I spoke to them, I started studying about this. And I wish I had studied it before I spoke to them. It was all on drugs and trying to help them understand why drugs are bad, where it could lead. But what was so real to me, and it's so real when you look at young people today, you can see it in their eyes. You can see it while you're talking to them. They just want to know, is this real? Is this real? What you're saying, I was sharing my testimony, I was sharing what happened to me, and you could see it in their faces. Is this real? Is this really real? And these were mostly youth group kids who have been in church. And you could see it on their face. Is what this guy talking about real? Can I really know God like that? Can I really have a relationship with him? And you can see in their eyes, a lot of their faces, they're looking for hope. They're not finding it in the things of this world. They're not finding it in relationships. They're not finding it in sex. They're not finding it in all the things they give their hearts to. They're looking. They're searching. They just want to know, is it real? And they just want people to be straight with them. Just please tell me. You could see it in their faces. And I want to scream at them. I want to implore, it's real, it's real. God is real. You can know him. You can have a relationship. You can have a hope that won't let you down. You don't have to turn to drugs, relationships, this or that or that. God is all you need. He will satisfy your heart. He will put a joy in you. You won't have to dread going to school. You won't have to dread sitting in your room wondering why you're here and what your life means and what your purpose is. God will show you. God will open up your understanding to know him, to know your purpose in life, to understand that you're headed somewhere, that this all really does mean something. These kids got to know this. It's about a relationship and knowing God. And it's real because Jesus is alive. It's not a vain hope. It says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. A hope that doesn't disappoint starts now. If you haven't fully put your trust and faith in Christ, it can start right now. If you've gotten your eyes on the wrong things, if you have been hoping in the wrong things, a living hope, a hope that won't disappoint, can start right now, today. Romans 5, verses 1 through 8 is a very precious portion of Scripture to me, because I don't think I would have made it this far if this wasn't true in my life. It says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the day when finally it dawned on me that I was ruined for all eternity. I knew I was a sinner, and I felt like there's no hope for me. I've gone too far, I'm too bad, however you want to say it. I can never change, I've just been like this too long, blah, 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 blah. But I remember when the light of the cross, the truth of the gospel penetrated my heart, and for the first time in my life, I knew there was hope for me. Because I saw Jesus. And I knew He was my only hope. And I knew when I repented that He had washed me, that I had peace with God, that somehow the wall was gone, that wall of separation. And now I could finally know Him and have that relationship with Him that I thought was impossible. But I had to repent. I had to repent. I had to come to grips with my sinful nature, the choices I had made, and I had to repent in dust and ashes. But when you do that, He becomes everything. And you find the joy of that refreshing that comes in His presence, because you know you've been cleaned. That's a real thing. Repentance is awesome. And then, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That's an everyday thing for me. Lord, if it wasn't for You, there'd be no hope for me. Every day. If it wasn't for You, Lord, it's just by Your grace. Thank You for Your grace, God. Thank You. I don't deserve it, but God, thank You. It's in Your grace I stand every day. And I rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Not only that, but I can also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Again, I wouldn't have made it this far if God didn't make this real to me. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good one, man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, He died for us. It's not based on your goodness. It's not based on your goodness. It's based on His mercy and His goodness. And He died for you when you were His enemy. Romans 8:24 says this, you were saved in this hope. Have you forgotten? You were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope in what sees? But if we hope in what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Again, this should be real if we've been born from above. We should be hoping in the unseen. That's where our treasure should be. That's where we should live our lives on a daily basis. Eagerly waiting, persevering, even though I'm in grievous trials, my hope sustains me. I set my minds on the things above, not the things of the earth, and it carries me through life. And I understand it's producing something in me. It's producing something. It's not useless. It's not just in vain that I go through what I go through. God uses everything in my life to work out His will and His plan because I love Him. Romans 8:28 promises that. Hebrews 6:16 says, talking about God and basically that this is a sure thing. It says, men swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end to all dispute. In other words, men swear on things. I swear, you know, on this that, you know, it's settled. And, you know, how valid is that? How much trust can we put in that? Not much. But God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. In other words, those who have this living hope, God, by the immutability of His counsel, in other words, the unchanging nature of His counsel, it doesn't change, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, again, unchanging things, they'll never change, in which it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope, to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. It's not going to change. One day, God's not going to say, oh, I've changed the rules. It's not going to change. If you lay hold of the hope that is set before you, you will not be let down because God's immutable. It's not going to change. It's fixed. This hope we have as an anchor to the soul. We have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. The world shakes. You cannot anchor your life in this world because the world shakes. And actually, God says He's going to violently shake the world. Therefore, don't have your anchor in this world. Be anchored in Christ and in God. We have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner, Jesus, has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In other words, access to God. Jesus has gone behind the veil. It's a picture of the temple. There was a veil that separated the priest from the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest once a year could go in behind that veil and make atonement for the people so that their sins can be forgiven. And Jesus went into that holy place in heaven and His blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat and He's given us access into the presence of God now, but also in heaven. We've been given access to heaven. That's where this dear saint is headed. She's been given access and she knows it. Hope produces in the life of a true believer perseverance, character. In other words, the way we think, the way we act, all revolves around our hope. We really should not be affected by world events, by things of this life, like people who don't have hope in God. Although we do at times, right? Our hope should be an anchor that holds us. It all points to my only hope, which doesn't disappoint. I know I have this hope because it says His love is in my heart. It assures me I'm His. It causes me to purify my heart. It produces a love for God and a love for other people. 1 John 3 talks about this in verse 1. Beloved, What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we, me, should be called a child of God. What manner of love? Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know Him. Christians living in the blessed hope, in other words, are different than the people who live for the things of this world. We're different because we are now children of God. We are children of light. We are not children of darkness anymore. And we live as children of light. We're different. We should not blend in. We should not fit in with the world. Actually, the world should hate us if we're living in this living hope, because we're not like the world. We actually go in an opposite direction. Does that describe us? Verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. And it's not been revealed yet what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we will be like Him. We will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself, just as He is pure. In other words, I want to be like Him. And because I understand that one day I'm going to see Him and be like them, and that I am being prepared for Him as a bride, I want to be pure for Him. I don't want to stand with Him at the altar with any other loves in my heart. I want to live my life like I'm devoted to Him, because He is my bridegroom. He is the one that I'm going to be united to for all eternity. That's my hope. That's what I'm looking forward to. One day I'm going to see Jesus, and this fallen nature that I hate, it's going to be totally gone. I mean, it's changing. You know, I die daily, but I'm not there. But when I see Him one day, I'm going to be just like Him. I'm going to be full of love. Full of love. No fear. No more fear. Because perfect love casts out fear. I'm going to have complete peace. Complete joy. There'll be nothing hindering it anymore, because the veil will be gone. I'll just be totally caught up with Him. Oh, man. That's the day I look forward to. So now I want to prepare myself for that. I want to live my life in such a way that He knows I understand that. And so that other people know what my hope is in. That's why I do it. It's pure love. You understand that? He who has this hope turns from who they were to become who they are in Christ. Children of God. And you know them because of their love for one another. That's how you know children of God. They love. They love people. Verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Their life in God is defined by their love for Him and their love for others. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's how we know. That's how we know this hope is taking effect in our lives. We love people. We love as He loved us, because we understand. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What are you hoping in today? Is your heart sick? Is it weighed down? What are you hoping in? Are you full of inexpressible joy? Do you know you're at peace with God? Do you know that? Are you sure? What are you hoping in? Where is your hope today? You know what man's greatest need is? You know what your greatest need is? Yeah, we say that, Jesus, but what do we mean? What is man's greatest need? To have a relationship with God. To have a relationship with God. That's what Adam and Eve had. Perfect union, perfect relationship with God. That's what sin ruined. And encompassed in that is to be loved like no one on this earth could love you, which every person longs for. And the problem is there's no human being that is going to be able to love you the way God loves you. You will be let down. But God's promise is you will be loved. You will be loved by God. That's His promise to you. You will know His love. You'll know Him. That's what salvation is. It tells us in John 17. That's what salvation is, to know Him, to be in a relationship with Him. Not to go to church and do some religious activities. It's to be in a relationship with the living God who created you. That's what you were created for. God created man to have fellowship with Him. If man does not have that fellowship, he doesn't see his reason for being created. That's what's wrong with the youth today. They don't understand why they were created, to know God, period. And that's why they're in the state they're in. That's why they're hopeless. That's why some of you are hopeless. You don't understand you were created for God. Man will have an abundant life when he worships God in spirit and in truth. This will only occur when man enjoys God's love, mercy, and grace in an everlasting relationship with his Heavenly Father. That is our living hope. That is what salvation is all about. Salvation is not a ticket out of hell. It's a relationship with God. Thank God He loved you so much. Thank God that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to restore that relationship with you and with me. Jesus reconciled us to God. He offered a way to fulfill our need, our greatest need to know Him. He gave an ultimate price to redeem and make us part of God's family. To be reconciled with God, but we need to be forgiven of our sins first. And then we'll be restored. Then we'll be restored. So I want to finish today with this. Do you realize your greatest need in this life? Are there any here today? Do you realize your greatest need in this life? Do you trust in Jesus to forgive your sins? To give you freedom? Maybe from things that have held you captive. Sins, whatever it might be. Depression. Anxiety. Whatever it is. Do you want to be free? Do you desire to have an amazing personal relationship with God? Simple. Acknowledge that need today and put your faith in Jesus. Don't leave here today if you have not done that. So I want to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to do an altar call, but I am going to give an invitation. You need hope. This isn't real to you the way it was just described. Sin is separating you from God, and you know it. And you need to get right with God. You need to repent. You need what he did on the cross for you, and you want to make that right today because you want that barrier removed. You want to come into a relationship with God. There's hope today. There's hope for you today. God is offering you hope. I'm going to pray this prayer. Paul prayed this for the church at Ephesus, and this really is the basis of our hope. It's the love of God, what he's done for us. But this is what he said, that, Lord, I just pray today, Lord, that have put their faith in you, God, that you would dwell in their hearts through faith. And Lord, that they would be rooted and grounded in your love. That they would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And Lord, I pray you will fill us and them with all the fullness of God. Lord, pour out your Spirit into our hearts. Pour it into our hearts, God. Fill us with all the fullness of God, I pray. And I thank you, God, for you who are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, your power. To you be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's rejoice today. Let's rejoice. And I want you to go with this scripture today, okay? In 1 Peter 3:15, as you go out today on Resurrection Day, be ready to give defense to everyone the reason for the hope that is in you. Okay? Amen? All right. God bless you guys. Have a blessed Resurrection Day.